Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing together. It's a good day to be alive in Christ. Amen. If you have had the week that I have had, somewhat like that, you've probably panting and out of breath. But we come to our Sunday night where the day is over. We've had a great service or a gathering of some kind in the morning or afternoon. So we're going into the week. Well, I've got a thought on my heart tonight. Talk a little bit about the good things of God. Also, invite you to subscribe and join us along the journey. If you're new to our journey, stay around for a bit. Take you a few times watching us to see if it's something that would bless you, something that would encourage and strengthen your walk in the Lord. If so, subscribe and be a part of our family, fellowship family, as we move in the things of God. Amen. Crazy, crazy things are happening all around us. And I have to continually tune it out, not like the ostrich, almost said the oyster. They really tune it out. Not like the ostrich that buries their head in the sand. Be aware of what's happening, yes, so we can stand in faith and be prepared and pray and defend ourselves. And even in our natural world, there's things we need to defend ourselves in, isn't there? For instance, we've just had some flooding again. Every year, especially in the wet winters, we get flooding in our valley. And some of our close friends were flooded out this week, 2 o'clock in the morning. They had a knock on the door, had to evacuate. They ran out the door with a toothbrush, I suppose, and probably their cell phone. Ended up in a hotel or a friend's house, but they lost all their things. That's how sudden things can change. So we need to be aware of our surroundings in the natural. But we can't just plug in to the voices and to the news and to the latest predictions of doom and gloom and we're all going to die. Let's remember how many years, the government has been telling us that every year something's going to kill us. Every year there's a virus. It's the killer bee. It's the bats. You know, there's a list of things for the last 25 years or so that every year this was going to be the one. Some of you are old enough to remember Y2K, the great disaster at 2000. The world was going to end, and the computers were going to quit, and the airplanes were going to fall out of the sky. Well, quite a bit of the church picked up on that little scenario and began to bang away on it and tie it in with their predictions. And lo and behold, we pump fear. Now, that was a general statement. I didn't buy into it. They pump fear into the hearts of people from the church, where the church needs to pump in and, you know, pour in faith and encouragement and hope. You say, well, I don't want just a constant overflow of positive thinking and yay, 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 we're going to win in the end. Let's go for it. That's not what I want. Well, the Word of God is filled with that. Now, I could go to the Word of God and I can pick out the wars that wiped out people and the plagues that came through. I could, spend a lot of time on on the death and the suffering and the curses. There's a pretty good lineup of characters that don't deserve to be in any kind of Bible, but there they are expressing the nature of man. And then there's others that are expressing the grace of God that came to them and changed them. Look at Paul the apostle turns into, he was Saul, turns into Paul. He was a character. He was a killer. He was dangerous. He was on the hunt for Christians to put him in prison and kill him, stone him. Well, he was holding the coat of Timothy, wasn't he? He was in that crowd holding the coat of Timothy when he was stoned to death. Now, the grace of God comes, but we don't spend our life or our days just focused on the negative. The latest coming out of South Africa is the next fear that's coming. And they're saying it's big and ugly and it's coming your way. And they don't know much about it, but they'll tell you what they don't, you know, they'll make up some stuff. Now, I heard a little clip out of South Africa from a doctor, a medical doctor. He said, well, this is very unusual, but it's mild. Well, you don't hear that in the news. The news is, gangway, here we come, another death plague. Okay, enough of that. What I want to tell you is that we need to see the goodness of God, and we need to listen to the grace and the faith of God, because it's that's what builds our faith and builds our life. Well, tonight I want to talk about taste before you eat. Taste before you eat. A lot of words from the Lord come through my wife, 54 years. She's been saying words from God to me. I hear God often. Well, I heard him. I heard her today again. And it that's a personal thing. And I'm sure you've never done this, but the salt shaker and I have a relationship. When I sit down to eat over the years, I reach for the salt. It's like having forks and knives. You have to have a salt shaker. And I have a habit of salting my food before I taste it. And I heard her today again, so not the first time. She's been working on me a long time. Now she's got the doctor to agree, so I'm being more careful. Taste and see. So the Spirit of God began to talk to me about that. I'm going to share some thoughts tonight about tasting of the good things of God. Now, the book of Psalms 34 and 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." How do you do that? How do you do that? I go into the store where I shop and grapes are on sale. I'm not going to buy that bunch of grapes unless I taste one. So because they're open, you know, they're in bunches and not in a plastic container or a sack, I break off a grape, clean it up a little bit, and pop it in my mouth. Now, if that grape is sour, I'm not going to buy that bunch of grapes. I tasted to see if I wanted to buy into it. Now there's samples. You go into a perfume store where I buy men's cologne and women's perfume. I back away from spraying women's perfume on me. Usually I'll spray it in the air, or the girl that I'm buying it from will spray it on her or something. But men's cologne, you know, you'll take a little bit. You smell it. I don't want to pay $50 for a bottle of cologne that I'm not going to like. I'm tasting, I'm sampling to see. Well, that goes on and on. There's all kinds of things. I bought a little cheap train set for the grandkids to have here at the house. And it was pretty cool. But the box had a little button in the front, and it was a tester to see, to listen to the horn blow, the whistle. And you didn't have to open the package. You didn't have to buy the package. You pushed the button, and you heard the whistle. And that tempted you or me, I bought one, to purchase. So how do we taste the Lord, and what does it mean to taste and see? I'm thinking about the children of Israel when the manna came down from heaven. That was bread from heaven, and they got to eat of that bread. Now, to me, Old Testament experiences like that are a taste of the future covenant, the future Christ, who is the bread of life that came down from heaven. So the manna was like bread, and they got the name manna from what is it? They went out there, and the whole field was covered with snow-like dough or some kind of popcorn. And they said, what is it? Well, that's manna, I guess, in Hebrew. So taste and see that the Lord is good. If I could sit in your front room or talk to you over coffee, I could probably find out that you had a journey into Christ that was a tasting room. You went into a tasting room. It may have been a church. It may have been a radio broadcast or a program just like this. It may have been a gospel track or a book, or it may have been a song that you heard, or it may have been the prayers that you remembered from grandma. Something was put into your spiritual palate, and you had a taste. And you never got away from that taste, and it began to draw you into the gospel and the Christ that you have accepted and you're walking with. A friend of mine who taught us years ago and formed our worship style early on back in the 70s, he was from Australia, and was down there when that great revival came through, and the song of the Lord and the sounds of God that came out of the congregation because they were singing odes. An ode is a song that you make up yourself. And then they struck the four chord progression, and all the congregation became a choir singing unto the Lord. He said, I hadn't heard it in years, and I stepped into a church, I believe it was in Vancouver, Canada, and he said, I heard the sound that I hadn't heard in 20 years, and I knew I was home. You see, sounds can be a taste. Sight can be a taste. A word in the ear, a gospel track, a witness can be a taste. I remember the testimonies my dad used to repeat to me about someone obviously famous at the time, walking by a mission. They were out walking down in what we used to call Skid Row, where the homeless used to live and hang out. And he heard a song from the mission that reminded him of his Sunday school days. Well, Sunday school put a taste in his spiritual mouth, and it brought him back to God when he needed to hear something to bring him home. Taste and see that the Lord is good. A miracle, Jesus, the prophets and Jesus both exhibited miracles, didn't they? But a miracle is like a window into heaven. And the miracle of healing is like the display. Back in my younger days, and maybe still some in the big cities, you don't see it so much in the malls and the small cities. And there's some famous old movies that specialize the big shopping center, you know, shopping store. It was the window dressing, and it was the store windows that drew people into the store. So all around the building, if the building was a block square, all around was different displays, sports wear, men's wear, women's wear, all that. And you'd stand out there and you'd see something you like. And so you would go into that store and say, I want that jacket there. Where can I find it? That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Now, every one of you that are listening, there's something in your inner man, we call it your spirit man, that has tasted something that you haven't quite possessed, and it draws you into it. Lunchtime comes, dinner time, and you have a taste. There's something you want to have, and you know what it is. Why? Because you've had a taste of it before, and now that you're hungry, that taste comes back. Oh my, when we go to Disneyland, we've got to have our charros. A charro is a deep fried, big, long piece of something that's really sweet. And Arliss and I, it's a tradition. When we go to Disneyland, we remember the taste of the charro. Well, I went to Las Vegas a few years ago with my older son, Tony. And he said, Dad, you've got to have this sandwich. And he told me all about it when he had been there. So I was waiting to come back for this, to eat the sandwich. And when we had to stand in line a long time, when I finally got the sandwich, he was absolutely right. Well, we were there 3 days. Guess who had a sandwich every day because of the taste that was left in my mouth? The Lord and His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through His grace, will put a desire. That's what a desire is. A desire is a taste. It's a sample. It's a sample kit. It's a desire. He put it in your heart. And when we come from the Father, every one of us, He's placed in our heart a desire for the Father, a desire for the kingdom, a desire for righteousness and holiness. We come through the birth channel. We begin to come into our life. And early on, children, if you're sensitive to them, have a propensity to see God, hear God, see angels, want to talk about spiritual things until they become 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and then they get overrun with the world or television and other stories. But they come out of the bosom of the Father hungry to know Him and to have that relationship again. That's that taste. That taste is in your spirit. It draws you into prayer. It draws you back to the Bible. It wants you to have, you want to have the abundance of God and the Holy Spirit. Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's that hunger you have. Now, let's look at the Word of God as a tasting room. Oh, wait a minute now, preacher. Wait a minute now. The Bible is, that's it. I mean, the Bible is it. Everything in those pages between the two leather covers is all God ever said and ever will say. Okay. Okay, you want to argue that? Fine. It's written down, been canonized. It's not God. It's not all God's ever said, because Scripture says if there was books from, you know, the seed of the mountains, we couldn't fill the whole earth. We wouldn't be able to record all the things that was done. I don't know how to, you know, equate that, but it's a lot of stuff. The songwriter said, if we cut all the corn stalks down and made them into pin quills, and the sky was the parchment, we couldn't write all the miracles. Okay. But if you take John 3:16, that's a taste of God. You can't live on John 3:16 without revelation. You can't live on what's in those two verses without the revelation of it. The revelation of it is the meat. The taste is the read. The taste is what you read on the page. And the revelation is what you live on into the page and into the experience and into the kingdom and into the blessings of the Lord. That's the fullness of the taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we stumble across a scripture, or someone has a miracle or a healing, and you say, what? A healing? I thought they were all gone. What do I do to get a healing? That's the taste. The taste draws you into seeking God, asking questions, praying, understanding scripture, fasting, desiring, going to meetings where they have healings, hanging around people who believe in it. And one day, bam-o, you lay hands on the sick and they're healed. What happened? You had a taste, a desire. You came bursting into that thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I got to have some of that. Everything we get from God, He gives us a taste. And that taste propels us and draws us into the whole. draws us into the hole. We were, I was on a trip with my two sons and the film crew that we took to Charlotte, North Carolina. We did some training videos for a large hotel chain. We were there several days, maybe a week. And Tony found a restaurant downtown that specialized in meat. I forget the name of it, but everybody knew where it was. And we just walked in, didn't look at the menu, didn't look at the prices. Man, we were rolling. We were hot. We had a job, you know, big paying job. We sat down and they came to the table with meat on a stick and meat on a plate and meat everywhere. And we say, give me a taste of that. They'd sliver off something and we'd taste it. Oh, I got to have a big piece of that. Fill your plate. Somebody else come by. By the time we were through, we were full of meat. Why? Because we saw something, we tasted of it, and because we liked it, we had a big chunk of it, and we went home satisfied. I won't tell you what the bill was. We found out going out the door. Whoa. But it was good meat. Okay. What are you hungry for? What do you dream about? What do you... Now, I'm going to use a word that scares some Christians. What do you fantasize? That means you daydream, you imagine, you think about it, you see pictures of it, you desire it, you can see yourself there, you can even hear yourself. That's a taste in your palate, on your palate. I've been told for years that the training of some cultures are that the mother will chew the food, take a little bit of it, and put it on the palate of the baby before they even have teeth, and rub it in there, and they get a taste. So when they grow up, they like tortillas, tacos, French fries, steak and eggs, English stews, Southern biscuits, green beans, whatever the taste was there, they grew up and that became their desired dish. I was raised on the taste of Pentecost, Holy Ghost, long services, loud singing, praying all night, street meetings, preaching on the corner. When I was a teenager, I stood in the corner and beat a big bass drum. And they had other instruments, and we sang and preached. I had a taste of that. That taste took me into gospel crusades around the world. I've been on street corners and platforms and prisons and all sorts of meetings because somewhere in my early days, now, Dad was an evangelist slash pastor. He pastored 20-some churches, but he traveled a lot in between. As an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old boy, we traveled in a trailer house all over the United States doing crusades and church meetings. That was life. That was life. That was the taste was in my mouth. And when I step into an arena like that, I'm home. I can hear the hum of the notes, you know, the harmony. Boy, that's where I belong. Well, you say, Pastor, you're not doing that now? No, but I can live there in the spirit. And I certainly can revisit it in memory. And I know that I am right at home when I'm walking in that type of thing. All right, enough of me. Where do you want to go? I'll tell you how you find out where you want to go. You follow your dream. Oh, we've got some Hollywood songs and some popular movies. Follow your dream, all that good stuff. But I tell you, spiritually, you follow your dream. You follow your desire. You follow the heart, and the heart speaks louder than the mind. Amen. I saw a picture of my wife. I didn't know who she was at the time. Became my wife. And something grabbed a hold of my heart, and I followed it. 5.5 months later, we were married. I was on my honeymoon. How did it happen? Because I pursued which I desired. There was something about that particular one that I knew, as we say, was the one. Oh, boy. Excuse me, I just had a flashback and I kind of blank out when I think about those early days. Amen. And I know you do too when you step back into some of those days when you got blasted with love or something grabbed a hold of you. Amen. I'm encouraging you to spend some time meditating upon your dreams, desires, and hunger. I'm encouraging you to go back and maybe recapture something. Maybe you've taken a left turn. You should have gone straight, but you made a left or right turn. Go back to that intersection and start over again. It's not too late to find your dream spiritually. And my goodness, we could say that in the natural, because every one of us have natural dreams. There's things I'm still unfolding in my desires in the natural. But I tell you, the taste of it. I love writing. I haven't written as much as I want to. I haven't produced as many books as I want to. But when I walk into a bookstore, now this doesn't happen when I look at the computer, go to Amazon and, 50 million books. When I walk into a bookstore, I feel something that is amazing, because I love reading and I love writing and I just love the smell of a book. My books behind me here is a small portion of what I have in boxes. Unfortunately, I haven't the room to put them all out yet. My son used to play a game with me when we had the church for years, and he'd come in for some reason and he'd say, "Hey, Dad, have you read that one? What is it? Have you read that one?" He'd go to different books just to test me to see if I was faking it. What do you desire? I speak a release and a blessing to you tonight. I speak an encouragement for you to follow your dream, follow your desire, step into the deep end of the pool. God will teach you how to swim quick. Amen. Some of you need to be preaching. Some of you need to be writing. Some of you need to open up a new business. And, if you want to be a mechanic, put your shingle out. If you want to have a shoe store, put a sign up. Do something to follow your dream and do what God has put a desire in your heart. I told you the word that God gave me a couple of years ago about if everybody in town was a plumber. I was driving down our main street and stores on both sides. And I 90% of them I've never been in. And I said, how did they ever stay in business? I've never shopped there. And God said, what if everybody in town was a plumber? Okay, God, what do you got? Well, that wouldn't work. You got to have variety. You got to have, if I need a carpenter, I can't use a plumber. I need a carpenter or a mechanic. So you fit in the scheme of your city, the balance of it. Your church needs you exactly who you are. Your pastor needs a support just like you are. If you're a businessman, do it well. If you're a singer, do it well. If you're an assistant pastor, be the best. It's the desire out of your heart. Let it flow. Amen. Well, that was my heart for tonight, and I wanted to share it with you all. Thank you for joining me on my Sunday night excursion. You want to have something to pray for? Pray for my technology knowledge. I've been having a time this week with my cameras and my computer, and just need the wisdom of God. Program, this video program we're doing, is the extension of my heart in this season of my life, even though I'm doing some traveling and some writing. But this has been a real God thing for me for the last 3 years. So thank you for joining, and thank you for your prayers. And if God has encouraged you through the program, I always want to say submit. Don't, you know, I'm not saying that. Sign up for it, you know, subscribe. And if the Lord's encouraging you to send us a gift, we receive it in Jesus' name. Write down the notes. There's a PayPal button or our mailing address. You can find that. Amen. Until tomorrow morning, all next week, early in the morning. It's a busy week for us all, but if we can start the day off with a good word, I'll be here to share it with you. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the favor of God always be the radiant shine out of your face. See you in the morning. God bless.